I just wanted to give a few pieces of advice before we go any further, and that is please do not exit the car during the service. That is one of the restrictions upon us. Please don't leave the car whilst we're during the service. And if you must leave, attract the attention of one of the marshals and don't drive out on your own volition. Make sure you attract the attention of one of the marshals and they will direct you out. And also, at the very end, Mark Thompson will direct each row as they can go and leave the car park. So wait until someone... Don't be all trying to get out at once. I know you want to scarper and get home, but make sure you all just leave as you are directed. And then I want to just bring in the announcements for this incoming week, and that is to say our prayer gathering on Wednesday at 7:30. And so we have our prayer gathering at 7:30 on Wednesday in the church hall. You don't have to pre-book that, but please do come along, as we've been noticing and speaking on Sunday mornings, that is prayer. It's prayer that's going to be the saving factor in all of this, and men of prayer and people of prayer. So please gather with us at the time of prayer on Wednesday. Then next Sunday at 10 o'clock and 11:30. And if you're booking for the 10 o'clock service, there's a slight change in then you book with Tommy McLernan for the 10 o'clock service, and then you book with Andrew for the 11:30 service. And and Andrew, if you can just send a text to Andrew or a voicemail and either of those two numbers, and they'll pick them up, and then I'll let you know what the situation is. So that's 10 and 11:30. Andrew will be the speaker in the morning, and then I will be speaking in the drive-in service next Lord's Day evening at 5 o'clock. And so do please remember all these things in prayer and make them known, and trust the Lord for blessing in these incoming days. And also, we have a few people going to hospital this incoming week for various procedures, and we want to cover them in prayer just now before we get started. Hugh McAllister, Stephen Hall, and Albert Pollock are all going in for procedures and have good dates for various procedures this incoming week. So please remember them and lift them up in prayer as well. So let's just bow together in prayer. Let's pray and let's seek the Lord together. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering together here this afternoon, here in this lovely sunny Sunday afternoon in the car park here in Jordanstown. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the provision. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your goodness, your love, your mercy. Thank you that you would even desire to join with us, to meet with us, and to impress upon our hearts, Lord, your truth and your word. We ask, Lord, that we might be open to what God would say. Not only open, Lord, we pray that we'll respond to what the Lord will say. We ask, Lord, that you'll move from car to car, from heart to heart, from life to life, and from individual to individual. Lord, may none leave this place today untouched and unchanged by God. We ask, O God, that you will cover this whole atmosphere. Lord, you know the various technical issues that are ongoing. But we pray, O God, that you will work it out and that you will come, Lord, and make the crooked place straight and the rough place smooth. Lord, you'll bind the agents of hell and may we know freedom in Christ alone. We ask, O God, that you'll do something today. Lord, even if it's through the recording, someone sitting later on listening to this recording. We pray, dear Father, they too might be impacted for God. And so we look to you, Father. We pray for the Montgomerys as they come and minister in song. Use them, Lord, mightily we pray, and grant them might indeed see God move in this day and in this place to the glory of our dear Savior. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together number 4 in your songbook. I've enlisted the help of the Montgomerys, and I'm looking forward to them helping me singing. I was glad to have Evelyn and Brian last week, but we have the Montgomerys today, and we're looking forward to their singing, helping us leading this worship. Number four, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. My song, praising my Savior.
watching and waiting, looking up.
I hope you're enjoying the singing. I can't hear you, but I can certainly hear this heavenly choir right beside me. You're not going to have to look too far to see our next song. It says, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And the second verse is, He is my Lord, He is my Lord. And it's very much in keeping with the theme of these open airs these last couple of Sundays. This is our third Sunday in the theme of the coming King. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to say to you, it'd be far better if you bowed your knee now and instead of waiting until He comes, because every knee will bow. And I would rather you bow it now than wait until He comes, because then it'll be forever too late. He is Lord. He is Lord. And the second verse, He's my Lord.
He is Lord.
Number 14, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The enemy might be having his own way in a whole host of situations, but one day his knee will bow, and he will be bound and fettered and cast into the pit of eternal destruction. And one day we will see the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky. All right, some of these folks say they don't know it, so we'll try our best and see how it goes.
Jesus, the name to sin, mercy, the name to sin.
Amen. Well, as I say, it is good to sing these great songs of Zion and to sing of him who is worthy of glory, honor, and praise. It's also good to have the Montgomerys here. And I'm going to ask them to come right away and sing now that they're all well warmed up. And I'm going to get them to sing their first two songs before we bring God's word. Thank you, Evans, and thank you, girls.
Certainly different.
From what we're used to.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'd like to just thank our brother Trevor for inviting us to come along and to share again in your evening service on this special occasion here in the car park at the university. And such a beautiful evening too. It's really a real joy and pleasure to be here and to share with you and to join with you in bringing God's praise. And that first song the girls were singing there just remind us that, you know, these are uncertain times. I think you don't need to be told that. But it is very true and very encouraging and very helpful to know that although we don't know what might lie ahead, but we do know someone who knows exactly what's ahead. And he knows the way ahead for each of us. And it would be our prayer that everyone gathered here tonight in the car park, in this meeting, would know just the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of knowing Jesus as Saviour and having the Holy Spirit to guide them or guide us each and every day through the difficult times as well as the good. And, you know, being a Christian doesn't just mean that everything's going to run smoothly for us. There'll always be times when we'll face trials and tribulations and troubles, and it's good to know Jesus. And, you know, even though what you might face seems like a mountain, seems insurmountable, with God's help, we can get through it. And that's the theme of the next song that the girls are going to sing, and that's entitled Tell the Mountain.
In the foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, you can see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose faith right here. But don't ever give in, don't ever give up. God is with you, and you'll strength for the journey, the very hour you needed it too. So don't be discouraged, 'cause time after time, God's never failed you. Go on and climb. The mountain will tell you that you can't make it.
Show our appreciation around here, folks, in case you're wondering. Anyway, that's a first for you folks as well. Thank you very much for that ministry and song. Just tell your mountain how big your God is. That's a good theme. I really like it very much indeed. Now, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the greatest meeting ever as part three of the coming king. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 13. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is how it goes. And I'm glad to say we are now online, and so welcome those of you who had a wee bit of a delay in getting hooked on to us. We had one or two wee technical issues, but we got that sorted out thanks to Gary and Paul and Sam and whoever else is in the minibus there. Thank you so much. All right, let's read together God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 13. And it's Paul, as he brings comfort to the believers who had a big question over those who died and had gone. And here's what he said: I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's bow for a moment of prayer together as we commit a message and our time to the Lord. Let's pray and let's remember that we're in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, and we thank you for what it means to us, how it encourages us and how it inspires us. Thank you for your love and your goodness. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we would pray just now, Lord, as we need your help, we pray that we may be very conscious of your help to listen and to speak. Make it easy to hear, make it easy to speak, and easy to respond to what the Lord will say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. I've read to you the greatest meeting that ever will take place when the Lord comes back to bring his church and to set up his millennial reign, and when the Savior of the world shall be evident and present with all of the nations. What a great meeting this will be. One that transcends all other meetings. And many, there have been many, many great meetings in the Bible. And we have often spoken about them. I spoke about these meetings 2 weeks ago. The Red Sea, where at the edge of the Red Sea, Miriam takes up her tambourine and strikes out a song, and she sings this: Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And as they raise the hallelujah chorus for all that the Lord has done, from how they brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, and they call the nation, 3.5 million people together, to have a praise service for what the Lord has done. What a great meeting that would be. What about the one on Mount Sinai where the Moses was received the law and God spoke to the people and said, this will be your lifestyle. This will be the way I want you to live. And he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. What about that meeting in Mount Carmel where Elijah did battle against all the forces of hell and darkness, where he called down fire and God came and consumed the sacrifice? What a glorious meeting that was to see all the agents of hell and all the demonic forces of Baal defeated in that one moment. Or when David danced as the tabernacle that was brought back into the city of Jerusalem and he worshipped and praised the Lord. He was so delighted, so full of joy. What a day that was to see the tabernacle, returned home. Or the temple dedication where Solomon dedicated the Lord and people couldn't stand for the sense of the presence of God. What a meeting that must have been. Or what about Isaiah's vision? He says, I see the Lord, he's high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. What a gathering. And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. And the only response that Isaiah could have is, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. What a meeting that must have been. What about Paul's encounter with God as he was brought up into the third heaven? What a gathering, what a meeting that must have been. Or the Sermon on the Mount, or the day of Pentecost when the church was exploded into power and into life. What a tremendous meeting to see the Spirit of God come and authenticate the church and vindicate God's people and equip them to serve King Jesus. These and many great meetings have taken place. Whitfield, Wesley, Finney, Moody, preaching the gospel to thousands and thousands of people. And we will say there are great gatherings. But no meeting has ever been held anywhere in any time that begins to match the meeting that's about to happen in the air when Christ comes with his church and to set up his millennial reign and the kingdom of God begins. That meeting is one for which all others have been preparing. And it'll be the crowning meeting of all history. The purpose of all that has been done in this world as up to this present has been with this one meeting in mind. From Adam, man has been marching step by step up a grand stairway leading direct to that meeting in the air. The call of Abraham was one step. Jacob was another step. Joseph another step. And the deliverance under Moses yet another step. The conquest of Canaan was yet another step. Even when Christ was on the cross dying in your place and mine, that was another step towards this great event. He working towards the coming of Christ for the bride. It was for this that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. It was for this that the churches have been organizing and sending out missionaries to the ends of the earth. These things have all been to prepare the way for this great, greatest of meetings, the meeting in the air. The old song says, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. It was for this meeting God made plans before the foundations of the earth. It was for this meeting that he was thinking before the morning stars sang together. It's for this great meeting that I would love that everybody that's gathered here today would be well ready and prepared for that trumpet sound whenever we should join with Christ and be established for all eternity to be in his presence. Let us look at this meeting. Let us think about it. Let's encourage and inspire our hearts as we meditate upon its truth. Because I believe there are some things that we perhaps don't know, or perhaps that we need to be reminded of as we think of this great meeting about to take place. I want you to notice the composition of the congregation. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who are they? The dead that have raised. I love the verse in Revelation chapter 5. Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 5 and 9. And listen to what it says. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. And hear what it says. And has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Those at this great meeting shall be the members of the body of Christ. It will mean that we are members of the royal family of God, kings and priests who sit in the throne and reign with Jesus. Just think of it, you and I, part of the body of Christ. We're subjects of the Queen of England, as we understand. But what it is to be the son of a king, the son of the coming king. When I think of the fact that I have part of the body of Christ, it raises up a chorus of hallelujah in my heart as I think of what Christ has done for me. We will not be subjects but sons. But notice, please, from every tongue, from every tribe and every nation, what a gathering. The gospel deals with all enmity, all cultures, all creeds, all colors, all lives matter will be the issue, not just some. People who once were enemies, people who once were of another race, another ritual, another religion, another reasoning, now are they what? They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Even better still, people who once practiced demonic activities or fiendish rituals, now they are kings and priests with God. Do you know what the message of this is, my dear friend? The gospel works. The gospel works. He's able to bring people from every color, creed, and every culture. And he's able to make us one in Christ Jesus, having done away with all enmity, having done away with all strife. The sin of Adam and Eve flung the world into chaos and cataclysmic destruction of a spiritual and social kind. The whole world was affected. And the Bible says that the earth groans for her redemption. But all enmity and all strife has ceased. That's what the gospel does. Dear soul, the gospel brings peace between us and God, between man and man, between culture and creeds. Here's what it says in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But notice the consequence of Christ's sacrifice in Ephesians 2. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. What's the sum total of this complexion or the composition of the church? Is that from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and every culture have been made one through the cross of Christ. That's the composition that will meet together in the air to be with the Lord forever. Notice the complexion of the congregation. See, if we have been in this place in the meeting in the air, or if we have our place in this meeting in the air, it'll mean that we are like Christ. We are like Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and 2 says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Like him. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. Paul was writing in Galatians chapter 4, and he says, I labor like a pregnant woman to that Christ would be formed in you. I want to tell you, my dear friends, what a wonderful truth. The truth, the true child of God is always longing to be like his master. His heart is yearning as a sure prophecy of what we shall be when we see him. What a wonderful achievement of the gospel to be made like Christ. We sing that song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Ah, folks, is it not true? Isn't it the moment you trusted Christ, the moment you took him at his word, you knew, didn't you, that something wonderful had happened? You knew something powerful had begun. You began to see changes in your desires. You began to see changes in your habits. You began to see changes in your aspirations, your attitude. There began a thirst for the things of God, which before you scarcely had time for. There began a longing in your heart for worship and praise, the deeper things of God, and meeting together with God's people. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. And the moment we get saved begins that great journey where we want to be like him. We want to know him. We want to know more about him. We want to go deeper with him. We have a greater hunger. Our aspirations, our desires, our directions, everything about us changes. And what will it be when he comes back? When we shall see him, we shall be like him. What we are now is what the enemy had proposed to do, to destroy, to disfigure the person and the human being, and to disfigure that relationship that we had with him. But when we shall see him, we will have one of heart, one of mind, one of spirit. Imagine, with all this change, with all this transformation, when he comes, when the bride meets the groom, we shall be like him. A perfect union, a match made in heaven, in full agreement with the same tastes and the same dreams and the same vision. But something even deeper than that, my dear friend, will be the case. We'll be perfected, sinless. Down here we're saved, justified, and even ratified by the Spirit. But glory and sanctified. But we're not glorified. We will be given on that moment bodies that will be fit to live in eternity, where we'll be able to stand in the presence of God, where all the aches and pains and the moaning and groaning will disappear. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. Oh, I say, if you've ever doubted the power of the gospel to do what it claims, then it's time you stop doubting and started trusting. There are some dipping their toes in and out of salvation, one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. My dear friend, it's time you were all in, because he's coming back for a spotless bride. It's time you stop dragging your feet in response to the word and what God is teaching, and stop standing still and start moving with God. Here's what my Bible tells me. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It will also mean that we shall never more be separated from him. So shall we ever be with the Lord, said the writer. My dear friend, can I say to you, sin will seek to separate you from God down here. And the devil tries his best to separate us from God down here. And what I've noticed about the devil is this. He separates, he isolates, and then he assassinates. My dear friend, whenever you keep close to the shepherd, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. The ability, my dear friend, to be made like Christ. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. But notice not only the complexion of the church, but notice the consolation of the congregation. This is a generation, my dear friend, or there will be a generation that will never see death. And oh, that would be our generation. Because there's coming a time whenever the clouds will unfurl and the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised and we which are alive and remain. That tells me that there's going to be a generation that will never see death. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I long to be part of that great generation that will be lifted from this earth and taken to be with him to rejoice around his throne and sing praises to him who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me read you some verses, my dear friend, that belong to the gospel meeting and not the funeral service. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 to 54 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Notice that. And he's not talking about laying in bed or sleeping in the meeting. He's talking about the death. He's saying, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this old corruptible body, which is dying and decaying, even as it stands here today, one day it'll be changed into a new body. Ah, friends, what a wonderful thought. All that aching, all those aches and pains, that insomnia, ingrown toenails and backache, what about all those things that have plagued the old body? And as you get older, you feel you're getting more frail as every day goes by. Change, glory to God in an instant. I think that should raise a hallelujah. The Christian, my dear friend, listen to this. The Christian has no business to be looking for death. We should be looking for his coming. We should be listening and we should be watching. Because death has been defeated. Oh, death, where is thy sting? He says, oh, grave, where is thy victory? There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing. My dear friend, this is a recurring theme. As we look to his coming, it has a sanctifying effect upon the church as we await the coming king. I know many will say, but I'm longing for his return, but I want him to wait, as the songwriter said, and I don't agree with the song, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. And I know the response is, because some of my family are not saved. And there's a lot of my family that's not saved. But I'm longing to break out of this old, fallen body, are you not? I'm longing to leave beside this old, the old curse of the fall of man in the garden when we began to age and began to decay. I'm looking forward to that day when I get my new body, aren't you? And you say, well, there's some of my family not see it. Can I challenge you today? Can I challenge you that's listening online? Well, what are you doing to see them saved? What are you doing to see them won for Christ? Well, I know that some will say, well, I witness and I testify and I pray for them. Well, you've done everything you can do. It's between them and God. It's between them and God. Oh, the consolation of the congregation. I want you to notice very quickly the contemplation of the congregation. It will mean that we shall ever, forever have bodies that will remain young forever. Isn't that wonderful? Some of you poor critters, you're just about managing to struggle in and out of bed. Some of you couldn't walk the length of yourself, and I understand that. But what I tell you, one day, my dear friend, you will one day depart from this life, or you'll be taken up from this life into eternity. And all that old age will have disappeared, and you will be forever young. Forever young. And it says, in the twinkling of an eye. Someone has timed the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is a thousandth of a second. In a moment, some will give up old age to be forever young. Others will go from beds of pain upon which they have lain prostrate for years. And I can think of many. Others from the most grinding poverty will spring to eternal wealth. Others will go from burdens which they have no expectation of relief from. There are those in the depths of depression whose lives have been plagued by darkness and negativity, and many of us don't know the half of it. There are those whose lives have been dominated by anxiety and stress, and for any one of a number of reasons. From what I see, it would seem that the longer we wait for his return, the deeper this world is going into darkness. And the more obnoxious, immoral, the more sinful and vile the world becomes. And who wants to see it? Who wants to be in it? When Christ comes, death is defeated, sin is cast away, the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and all perversions cease. What a glorious thought that is. From what tribulations and troubles and afflictions will not the moment be a deliverance? And how the angels begin to sing and crowd the battlements of heaven upon that glad meeting when they know it is about to come. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, come Lord Jesus, come, ought to be the daily prayer of every Christian. The darkness will be dispelled. The depressed will suddenly know freedom from fear and confusion. The terminally ill will in a moment be instantly healed. The persecuted will be vindicated, and the captive will be wonderfully freed. But think again, as has been the theme of our mini-series. His veiled glory will be revealed. The trained choirs of heaven will finally get their respective songs and praise and worship for all to hear. The full extent of the work of the cross will be fully realized. Now we see through a glass darkly, but soon we shall see him face to face. Oh, what worldly habit or ambition would you possibly put before this greatest of all meetings? Notice the celebration of the congregation. Notice the celebration. Caught up together. Ah, folks, this comes and touches my heart, and I hope it touches yours. What a reunion. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Does that make your heart glad? The dead in Christ, a loved one. Maybe you sat at the cot of a little baby that died, belonging to you as we did. And your heart was broken and breaking as you saw it slipped and drift on it into eternity. Or that little toddler just a few hours earlier was running around the garden and some accident happened, unexpected. And how many accidents have happened in farming and farms in various places? What about others at the bedside of a dying loved one, held their hands as they slipped away? Others, while defending their country, gave their life, some by accident, some by violence, and some prematurely, and some by natural causes. But what a joint reunion. My mum loved that little phrase, at the river's crystal brink, Christ shall join each broken link. What a gathering, what a celebration, what a regathering. I say, what a blessed celebration. I tell you, none of the world's huge gatherings, none of the music industry's large events will come near or anywhere near the extravagance or the excitement or the exhilaration of the scenes on that day. Why? Because Christ will be the star attraction. Him whom my soul loves. He who has won my heart's affection. He who is the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the fairest of 10,000, King of kings and Lord of lords. He has come. He has come. He is coming. The blessed one. The promised one. The Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha male. He's the first word and he's the last word. The one about whom it was all about. The one who possessed the center place in eternity. The one whose position was the center of attention and the center of attraction, now holding center stage. And we will cast our crowns before him and sing, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Sadly for some, there are those that are too busy with their own little kingdoms and their own little environment. Those too preoccupied with their own agendas. Those too prideful to be bothered with such things. Those too fond of their sin. Can I ask you, are you fond of your sin? Is it your sin, your little habit, your addiction that's holding you back from fully trusting in the finished work? where you might be prepared for this day when it comes for a spotless bride. What sin is holding you? What habit has held you sway from Christ? What is it that is taking you captive that seems God can't break? Those so fond of their sin, they're not willing to forsake the sake for the sake of satisfying their obsessions. Those so full of their own opinions, so fond of their traditions, so trapped in their own lives, they're not willing to even seek the truth. Well, Satan did promise that they shall be his gods. And what does that mean? What does it mean that they shall be his gods? Well, they'll be masters of their own destiny. They'll do their own thing, go their own way, and they'll make their own choices. Well, my dear friend, you can do that, and you can ignore God's truth, but it'll bring you to hell just as quick as time will bring you. It's only that Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, it's only he who can give you satisfaction and assurance of heaven and home. Do you see your life as worthless today? Oh, you may say, not at all. I hold my life dear and precious. Do you? Or is it that you hold your life down here as precious? So precious that you're not willing to leave aside those addictions, those habits, those vile opinions and ideas, traditions. And you're not willing to forsake all and follow Christ. My Bible tells me, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, the King is coming. He's coming for a spotless bride. He's coming for those who are prepared, who have known that day of salvation full and free, who have followed in obedience his truth and responded with discipline and obedience to what he says and are watching every day for his coming. I say, dear friends, and I believe with all of my heart, that day is a lot closer than you and I really think. And just think, it's a full week closer than it was last week. And just maybe he'll be back before next Sunday. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray together. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that the Lord would somehow break into your heart if you're not saved. And I mean this. Are you really saved? Have you made your calling and election sure? Do you know the reality of God in your life? Does the word of God mean something to you? Does the coming of Christ put fear in your heart or put joy into your heart? If you're not ready, then I want you to bow your head where you are and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've denied you, I've rejected you, and I've lived for self and for sin. And if you came back, I'm going to be caught out, not caught up. But I thank you, Lord, that you have given me this opportunity. And in your grace and by your mercy, I know I can be saved right now. Why don't you just bow your head and do that right now? Or for those of you that are saved, just bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm a child of God. Thank you that you're showing your mercy towards me. And I am truly looking forward to my coming Savior and Lord and King. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, as we think, Lord, of that great event, Lord, we thank you for the change that happens. Thank you for the transformation. Thank you for these wonderful things that we, the people of God, have to look forward to. That these old bodies will all fade away and we'll be given our new bodies to dwell and exist in heaven for all eternity. Father, thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for what Christ has done. Thank you that he can make the difference in our lives today. We ask, Lord, that as now we bow in your presence, perhaps some soul doesn't know you. And they're not ready. Lord, we pray that they'll break, let hold, let go of that sin, and let Christ in. For those, Lord, who are saved and are rejoicing, we ask, Father, that you'll give a thankful heart, give them a thankful heart and a mouthful of praise for what the Lord has done. And Lord, we do say we are looking forward to that coming of our wonderful Savior. Father, as the Montgomerys come now to sing their final song, we pray that your grace will equip them and help them, and that they know your help as they sing the praise of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Montgomerys are going to come and sing just now, and then when they've sang, they're going to we are going to let you out. Mark will be over here and he'll show you row by row how you may leave, but please don't go until Mark shows you where and how and what row should go. And I'm going to be at the gate over there, and if you would like me to pray with you, then we'll find a way of meeting up with you and praying with you and to lead you to Christ. So I'm going to ask the Montgomerys to come down and sing. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Once in sin's darkest night, I was wandering alone. A stranger to mercy I stood. But the Savior came nigh when he heard my faint cry, and he put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood, they are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. Mine iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. From the burden I carried, now I am set free. For Jesus has lifted my load. Oh, the love and the grace I received in its place when he put my sins under the blood. I can ne'er understand why he sought even me, why his lifeblood on Calvary flowed. But sufficient for me, since he died on the tree, he hath put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood, they are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. Mine iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. Mine iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood.